these young people terrific? Eh? Aren't they good? I tell you, it excites me. I travel. It excites me. And let me pay tribute to the music maestro. Ross really puts them together there, doesn't he? He's really excellent. So we thank you, Ross and Tony, on the great wireless. Well, it's maybe not a wireless, so it's probably a Hammond, is it? But anyway, it's good on the organ. Thank you, Tony. We enjoy your playing so much. And all these students, I came down at the beginning and they had their Bibles open, looking into God's Word. And you know what God said? Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. When I see these little boys, I remember the story of the preacher that went to a place, and I feel like that tonight. And he came up to the preacher afterwards, who was just a wee laddie in Scotland, and he said, when I grow up, I'm going to give you a gift of money. And the preacher said, that's very kind of you. Why would you do that? He says, because my daddy says, you're the poorest preacher we've had in this church in a long time. Well, there you are. So don't expect great things tonight. But you know what I want you to do with me, just for a moment tonight? Because many of you fly. Why don't we just thank the Lord that nobody was killed today when that flight went into the river? Let's just take a moment to thank the Lord for that. Father, we just thank you for the careful flying, the pilot. We thank you for that everybody, that large number of people, that everybody was preserved. And we thank you for this today. And we pray for each one, and we pray that you would give them peace tonight and a great and restful sleep, that they may know your blessing in their lives. And may it cause even some to think of they might be in eternity. And maybe we, Father, we do pray, think about your Son who gave us such a hope and salvation. And so we come tonight and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I like to thank the Lord for good things, isn't it, you know? And it's a two-side coin. Well, you know, somebody said to me recently, have you not been shopping lately, John? We remember when you used to come and you'd shop. And I thought, well, maybe I'll do it on Thursday night and we'll do some shopping and we'll go from there. Can we have saw or drill? Now, who's going to get my text for tonight? Here it is, simply. You ready now? 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And can I have one of these gems? The black one? Okay, hello? No? Okay, who stood up first? Oh, this charming young lady. Okay, can you read it for me so that everybody can see it? Pardon? Well, you put it on first, do you? Well, that's a good point.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Lovely. Thank you very much. That was great. It says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Now, when I'm out shopping sometimes, I see things that make me, because when I became a Christian, it just turned my world upside down. When you go to see the missionary called Paul traveling, you discover that Paul, when he went to one place, was accused of turning them upside down. And that's what happened in my life. Actually, when you become a Christian, you don't get turned upside down, you get turned the downside up, because you were upside down anyway, isn't that right? We were born that way, for we're all sinners. But you know, when I began to think of it, and I go shopping, I see things that remind me of this. So I ordered some groceries, and the folks delivered them, and here they are. And, you know, when I began to think of that I was upside down, it would take somebody who was really great to turn me the right side up. Isn't that right? Somebody who was really great. And so as I was going round, I saw this here, and I thought, that's the answer. We have a what? Come on now. We have a awesome God. Isn't that right? We have an awesome God. I looked in the shelf, and I said, now what word would describe God? Awesome. Isn't that right? We have an awesome God. We sometimes sing about it, don't we? What a mighty God we have. I was here on a Monday night and the young folks were singing, what an awesome God we have. When you come to Psalm 8, the psalmist sits down and he thinks, he says, when I consider the moon, the sun, the stars, the works of thy fingers, what is man that you are mindful of him? Some people tell us we come from monkeys. What about the poor monkeys who are still monkeys? Were they left behind? If we came from monkeys, there'd be no more monkeys, would there? No, that's right. There's a sensible guy there. He agrees with me. And see, that's it. If you think it through, you've got it. But you know, we have an awesome God. We have a wonderful, great God who does great and mighty things. And so this is, as I began to think about it in my heart, and I began to think, well, I've got a problem. I've got a big problem, and nobody can resolve my problem. It's a problem of sin in my life. How do I get rid of it? And I was going along the shelves, and I just saw this, and I said, thank God someone has resolved it. It's resolved. But I'll tell you what it says here. Triple action. Penetrates, breaks down, and lifts out. It's like the gospel, isn't it? It's like the gospel. And it's triple action. That's what happens when you get saved. When you come to the cross, it's triple action. Christ died for our sins. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto ourselves and to himself. And he made the sacrifice on the cross through the eternal spirit. So the triple action when we get saved is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they resolved our problems. Where? At the cross. Isn't that right? There on the cross, the Lord Jesus died, and it was resolved. Triple action from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we're still in a mess. And you know, sometimes when ships are out in the sea, I know in the North Sea, my friends go fishing there, and it's very wild. And I remember I had friends, and they were up in the north of Scotland, between the north of Scotland and the Orkney Islands, is where the Atlantic meets the North Sea. That is one of the wildest pieces of water you can get anywhere. And on one side, the Scottish side, are huge cliffs. And if the waves take you in there, you're finished. And there they were. They were up there and their propeller had got jammed. And they were in the middle of a storm. Another friend threw them a lifeline, but it didn't reach, and then it reached and it broke. And my friends, they were in distress. And the gentleman, he told me, he said, my daddy was downstairs and he was praying. And I said, Dad, you better come up. We're going to smash against the rocks. We'll be lost. We'll be lost. But what they did was this. They did something else. They sent out my friends an SOS, didn't they? SOS. Save our... Oh, let's say it louder. Save our... That's right. They sent out an SOS and the lifeboat came out of Wick in the north of Scotland. And there it was. It came. And it came near and managed to get a line aboard and pull them away from the cliffs. So we've got an awesome God. We have an awesome God who very wonderfully, as we begin to look at it together, can resolve our problem. Our problem is our relationship with him in sin. And hearing our cry, when we send, he hears our SOS. What's our SOS? Well, when I got saved, I was on a street corner. I wasn't in a church. I was right in a street corner. I hadn't been in church in years. But someone had just spoken to me about how Jesus loved John Clunas and died on the cross for him, and I thought, what a load of twaddle. And I went round the corner, and the Spirit of God began to speak to me, and I sent out my SOS. I said, Lord, save me. Ah, Lord, save me. And the one who had resolved the problem and was awesome enough to come down into my life and change it came in a very wonderful way. And he did something. Oh, this is what he did. I was going along the shelves and I found this. If I find it, I'll show it to you. Here it is. Oh, here's it good. And when I saw this, I thought, that's just like being saved. Long-lasting pain relief. Amen. Isn't that right? But say, how do you spell relief? Do you remember he used to come on the television, you older folk? How do you, Roger Stolber, how do you spell relief? No. It was S-A-V-E-D. That's a relief. Amen. Ross, you're a great choir director, but after that, I'm not sure. You know what? Yes, it's a relief to have long-lasting pain removed. And when we don't know the Lord, my dear friends, we're living on the edge. But when Jesus comes into my heart, what is it we sing? What a wonderful change in my life has been made since Jesus came into my heart. And sometimes we sing one of my favorite songs about peace. There's a deep, settled peace in my soul. There's a deep, settled peace in my soul. Though the billows roll, he abides. Christ abides. He takes away the pain. You think of the boy that's on drugs that gets saved. God takes away that pain. He gives him a new life. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Isn't that right? He becomes new. You see, he comes in contact with an awesome God who can resolve his problem. When he sends out the SOS and says, Lord, save me. You know what? He's got a long-lasting relief from pain. Isn't that right? Oh, it's so wonderful to know that. But you know, I kept going along the shelves, and as I kept going along the shelves, there was other things that came to my mind. And you know, when I got converted, I went back into the factory, and the first day I was in the printing business. I was what they call, in America they call it a paper cutter, but I was in the printing business, but I started in the lower part to move into the printing. But in Britain, in Scotland, we didn't call them a paper cutter. We called them a guillotine. I would have got a job in France if I had been born earlier, but I was a guillotine operator to begin. I had to operate this big machine with this huge blade that came down and chopped the paper down into size and everything like that. And I went into the factory and they said, What's wrong with you today, John? I said, what? They said, you haven't used bad language all morning. And then I told them what happened the night before. I said, you know, last night I had a tremendous experience on the main street there. I God came into my life. I met Jesus. And they began to laugh. And they said, it won't laugh. Put ye in. Isn't that right? People make a fool of being Christians, don't they? They try and tell us, oh, there's nothing there. There's no gain whatsoever in being a Christian. And so what we discover, that what actually, the Word of God is very good. When we become a Christian, there is gain. But I was taken by this gain. Do you know what it says here? Can you folks in the back seat read this for me? It's like a long-range weather forecast, isn't it? How's the weather back there tonight?
Good.
It says, fresh awakening. Gain. Fresh awakening. That's what it means to be born again, isn't it? To have Jesus in your heart. What do you get? If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. He's got a fresh awakening. There's a new life. Oh, it doesn't stop there. I went along the line and I said, is there any more gains? And as I looked at them, yes, I saw there was more. And I dug down and I picked up some more and I discovered something else. But not only when you... Oh, here we are. That's a bigger gain for the folks in the back seat. It's a gain. Joyful expressions. Oh, I says, well, that's a gain, isn't it? Do you know what? I'm not just saved. I'm glad I'm saved. You know, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm really excited about being saved. My mummy was too, and I was excited. And my daddy was too. You know why? Because I was misbehaving before. And then when you start living for Jesus and you go out to the house with a Bible instead of to get a bottle, my, they're excited. And I thought, the world tells me there's no gain in being saved. Of course there is. Why? Well, our first gain is that we have a fresh awakening. And the second gain is we have a joyful expression. Do you remember that little hymn we used to sing? Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, oh, happy day, since Jesus washed my sin away. That's a joyful expression, isn't it? But some of you are saying, but I wasn't saved during the day. I was saved at night. Okay, we've written it, we've translated it for you. Oh, happy night. Oh, happy night when Jesus washed my black heart white. He taught me how to sing and shout and live for Jesus out and out. Oh, happy night. Oh, happy night when Jesus washed my black heart white. What a gain. An awesome God. An awesome God in a very wonderful way. This awesome God resolves our problems. Here's our SOS. Save our souls, Lord. Gives us long-lasting pain relief. And then he gives us the gain of fresh awakening. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And then he gives us a joyful expression in our heart. There was an old Scottish lady, and just the way you speak in Bahamas, in Scotland, they have their own wee languages too. You would have a hard job understanding them. And somebody said to her, tell me, what is it like being a Christian? And this old Scottish lady said in broad Scots, and I'll put English subtitles below it for the sake of those the rest of you don't understand. She said, it's better felt than telt. It's better experience. It's better no experience it than explaining it. Isn't that true? And there's sometimes when the Lord comes into your heart, sometimes you can't. Why Peter the apostle was so excited? What did he say? With a joy inexpressible and what? Full of glory. Isn't that what he said? He said that's what it feels like. And I just continued shopping and I thought, well, that's okay, I'm saved. Is that the end of the story? There's no more to it than that. And then I discovered, I better think of the future. Eh? Better think of the future. Is there a future? Is there a future? Somebody's talked about change for 2 years and we're hearing the same old stuff. But you know, my friend, we often sing, as I quoted, what a wonderful change in my life has been made since Jesus came into my life. You see, the change is not only now, but the change is for the future, because we discover when he changes us, he gives us a future. And my dear friends, it's wonderful to know that when a Christian dies, that go to be with the Lord. When my lovely, godly mother-in-law died, my little boy at the funeral broke down and wept and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And when we got home, I sat down and put my arm round him and I said, "You know what? What's the problem, John?" He says, "The boys at school were right." I said, what did they say?" Well, he said, "I told them my grandma had died and she had gone to be with Jesus. And they laughed at me and said, 'No, she's in a box.'" And of course, when he walked into the wee hall we belonged to, there was the coffin. And he saw the coffin and he said, "They're right." So I said, "John," we were in a house we hadn't been long in. I said, "John, do you remember where you used to live?" He says, "Yes, 102 South Anderson Drive." I said, "When we bought this house, did we take the old one with us?" "No," he says, "it's still there, Dad." I says, but you came and lived in what, a new house?" "That's right." I said, "Well, you see, when a Christian dies, they're absent from the old house and they're present with the Lord. Gives them a new house. John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And that means that the Christians are waiting for the final touch when Jesus comes again. Amen. Aren't you waiting for that? It really sorts out long faces, doesn't it? He is coming. Blessed Jesus, sing my soul with raptured sing. Oh, the joy to rise and meet him. Hail and crown him Savior, Lord and King. And this Bible says, "And the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught to be, meet the Lord in the air, and we'll go to be with him forever." Oh, that is exciting, isn't it? I'm so excited. I'm exhausted waiting for it. You know, I'll tell you, it's just wonderful to know that you've got the best. When I used to preach in street corners, folks used to shout at me, "Are you one of these crazy people that believes that you get pie in the sky when you die by and by?" "No," I said, "I'm one of these wonderful people who believe that you get steak on the plate while you wait." Amen. I'm enjoying my road to heaven. I'm enjoying it. And then one day, that enjoyment will be wonderful and the final touch will come. And it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race until we see Christ. And as I close tonight, there's only one thing I can say to you, and it's this: I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm trusting the Lord, believing the Bible, believing his word. The past is forgiven. From sin I'm set free. A mansion in heaven is waiting for me. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? You know, I sometimes see folks, I was brought up, my mother was an old-fashioned Presbyterian from the old school, way up in the Highlands. Wonderful people, but they just needed a wee bit of joy in their Christianity. Lovely Christian, godly people. But you never saw them smile. And you know, you just thought, wow, I wonder what it'll be when you get to heaven, when you discover there's an excitement about seeing Jesus. But we're glad tonight. We're a Christian. And let me say, if you are here tonight, boy or girl, brother or sister, Mum and Dad, and you've never realized that Easter was not about giving us a holiday, but about making us new, because Christ died on the cross for our sins and resolved the problems. If you realize that, all you have to do, it's not my salvation, it's His. You only have to ask Him, send out the SOS, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. We're going to ask Tony to come up, if he'll come up. Thank you, Tony. And then we're going to sing. Tony. 150. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. And the trusting heart to Jesus clings, but never ill forebodes, but at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted lots. We're humbled and blessed that You, an almighty, awesome God, died on the cross to save us. Help us, O Lord, through these simple, everyday things. Father, as people, young people, older people, walk through the supermarket, maybe just some of these items will stir up in them that they saw that they have an awesome God. Something that they can cry out an SOS, save my soul. And so, Father, we just pray that You'd bless us all tonight. And remember the seamen on the sea. And keep them safe. Eternal Father, strong to save. And Father, we commend each one to You now. And ask You to bless us. In Jesus' name. Do you know what? I was wanting to sing a song because I'm glad, and I'm just wondering what number it is. Does anybody know the number? Do you know the number of the song? Be a mind reader tonight. Do you know the number of that song? I think Never Failing Grayling knows it. What number is it? No, you're wrong. You're 5 out. It's 150. 150, there you are. But that was a good try, Grayling, but you don't get a prize. Yeah, okay. 150, let's sing it in the chorus book and send you all home happy tonight. Okay.